What's going on, world? We have 47 bowl games to talk about today and tomorrow. There are a ton. Joined with me, Nick and Smitty. Q was on, and then in the blink of an eye, family matters. Nick, what's going on?
Nothing. Ready for all these.
I know, honestly, you're ready to talk about the Birmingham Bowl.
I am. Who isn't?
Smitty.
Which one is that again?
What's going on, fellas? Glad to be here. Yeah, bowl games, man. We got action all over the place. And who's going to play and who's coaching and who's playing in the games? We don't even know that. So now let's have some fun.
That is why we're here. Ken, hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Let's finish the year with cash up tickets. Amen. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas as well. Is it just me or have the college football games been so much better over the holidays than NFL? NFL's just been a bunch of stinkers. And shocker, Kansas City Chiefs win again without scoring 30 points.
That ruined
the Christmas in the Smith house. That wasn't good.
Oh, yeah, you're all Steelers fans, aren't you?
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah, well, nobody likes to see Kansas City win. Okay, Georgia Tech versus Vanderbilt. Let's start it off here. This game is coming up in a couple of hours. Georgia Tech sitting at 7-5, Vanderbilt 6-6. But I think, like Q said on the show with Jeff, this is a really good 6-6 team in Vanderbilt. You felt like Diogo Pavia was a difference maker all season long. They continued to cover games as a dog, except for that last one of the season against Tennessee. I've got a power rated 53 and 56, so basically a field goal. That's where the line is sitting. Georgia Tech favored, but there's question marks around opt-outs and who's playing. We know Diogo Pavia getting to come back for another year is going to be huge for next season. Do you think Diogo Pavia here in this role in the Birmingham Bowl as a dog is the right side? Toddy, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, you know, I did play this game. I'm on Vandy plus the 3. I think this year, two really good teams that are, you know, I think overall really had good, you know, seasons. First game of the year, Georgia Tech, you know, upset at that time Florida State, and it went really downhill for Florida State. But, you know, this is a game that I don't think Vandy's won a bowl games, I mean, since like 2013 or something. I mean, it's been a long time. So, and I think it's going to be competitive, but I thought it was going to be one of those that I'm going to take the dog in this and take some points. So I'm going to play the plus 3 for Vandy.
Nick. And Nick has gone full Elsa, frozen.
Lisa's making not a bad face. I've been frozen on some spots, okay. And it's like it's a bad look.
Is on Vanderbilt. We did see Haynes King was for sure going to play. Haynes King said he was going to play in the bowl game. Nick, to catch you up to speed, is he frozen again? Oh nope,
no. Okay, I think I'm good.
Anyways, do you have anything here in this Georgia Tech Vanderbilt game?
Yeah, I know y'all are on Vandy, so let's try to split this. I just have Georgia Tech's team total over 24.5. You mentioned Haynes King. I know he's playing. I do hate that Eric Singleton, number one receiver, is out. He's kind of the biggest playmaker outside of, obviously, the two Haynes in the backfield. But knowing their quarterback's playing, they want to win, and I think they're coming off with extremely high confidence in how they played against Georgia. Probably should have won that game, to be honest. And now they're getting another SEC team, another chance to kind of prove themselves. I'm with you on with the Diogo Pavia news. Vandy might be a little bit more motivated or just in a better kind of mood because okay, yes, we know we're getting our guy back for another year. So let's try to middle. Let's Vandy win 30-27 and then we're all good.
Both of them without a offensive lineman, left tackle Corey Robinson for Georgia Tech, and then offensive tackle Gunnar Hansen out for Vanderbilt, signed with FSU. So definitely something to monitor there, but both quarterbacks are going to be in. Let's go over here to the Liberty Bowl. Taylen Green's going to be starting for Arkansas's offense. That's about the only one that you've seen all season long. They're going to be without Jaquinda Jackson, who's sitting out for the NFL, Andrew Armstrong, their leading receiver, Luke Haas, their best tight end. a slew of offensive linemen. We're going to have 6 scholarship players on the offensive line, 2 that have started this season, not including a center and I think a left tackle and left guard. Running backs, we have Braylon Russell, the traveling man, who entered the portal, exited the portal, entered the portal, and then decided to come back. This is a wait and see for Arkansas's offense. The one good thing that I can say is that Texas Tech's defense has struggled, especially against the pass. I feel like Bobby Petrino, he's coming back. He's got his quarterback in Taylen Green. They should be able to air it out, especially against this Texas Tech defense. And then on the flip side, Texas Tech starting a dual threat quarterback. It's going to be a little different look from Baron Morton, what he's been. Shout out to Ryan Height for coming on last night and talking about this game. You can go check out that preview if you just want Liberty Bowl coverage in and of itself. But this is going to be an interesting game. I feel like there's going to be a lot of points, despite this total dropping almost 10 points from 61.5 down to 51.5. Now ticked a little back up. I'm guessing because this late line movement towards Texas Tech, it's indicative that Taj Brooks, their leading rusher, is going to play for Texas Tech. Although Ryan said last night, they have reason to believe that he will not play. So I don't really know if a running back is going to make that big of a difference. We kind of saw this Arkansas rush defense. They had a lot of success throughout the season in stopping the rush, and they're going to have Cam Ball. They're going to have a lot of their pieces on defense still there. So I don't really think that they should have swung to being a 2.5, 2, 3-point favorite here. So I lean Arkansas, but I'm not going to give out a homer pick there. I think we've got too many tools on offense that are down, but I do like this over, especially the first half over 13.5 for Arkansas. That was a very long-winded Liberty Bowl preview.
Todd. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you on the over. I'm telling you on the over.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I jumped on it last night. You know, yeah, we did a spot with Ryan Hyatt, you know, really broke it down. You know, there's a lot of concerns in this game. Both coordinators are gone for Texas Tech. You know, the head coach, they're 2-0 straight up, 2-0 ATS in bowl games with him. Ryan said he really values these games. Arkansas, you know, offensive line, like you broke it down, a lot of people out, especially the offensive line. I think this one, I kind of like what you guys are saying too. I think this one is high scoring. I jumped on it last night. I took money line Texas Tech. I got it minus 120 on my site earlier today. It was up to minus 140. So I think hopefully I jumped on it a good time. So I think Texas Tech's going to win this game though.
All right, let's hop over to the Holiday Bowl. You talked about
real quick.
Oh, sorry.
Matt, just going off what you said. I was going to say that Taj Brooks's props got put up probably a couple hours ago. So it does seem like he's going to play. And it says, I mean, it's up to 120 rush yards. Yes, like minus 450 wow. to score a touchdown. So it does sound like he's going to be full go and playing.
I would go under on that. I don't know if Arkansas has allowed over 100 yards rushing. I mean, they didn't against Tennessee. They didn't against Texas. No. Trying to think what other running back would have gone off. They gave up 1,000 yards to Jackson Dart, but
nobody for Ole Miss. I was gonna say nobody for.
I don't think they couldn't run the ball. I don't know. A lot of their rush defense is still there. All their linebackers, Xavier Sorley, they're all there. So I don't know. A team that doesn't have very many players, Washington State. The cupboard is so thin. I thought they were gonna have to opt out of playing in this game. Syracuse laying 18, though. Is this – I want no part in this because I don't know if Washington State should be an 18-point dog, but on the flip side, I don't know what Washington State team is going to be out there on the field. So I've got to believe Kyle McCord and the Orange are going to win this game. But when you go through Washington State transfer portal, you've got quarterback John Mateer, running back Wayshon Parker, wide receiver Chris Hudson, right tackle, corner, linebacker, safety, defensive tackle. Even their punter is gone. What do you make of this?
Yeah, you didn't even mention head coach gone, offensive coordinator gone, defensive coordinator gone, running backs coach gone, quarterbacks coach gone, safeties coach gone.
So the history teacher is going to be coaching.
But does this not feel like one of those where it's like this happens in every bowl season where there are a couple of these teams that end up like 55-0, like all these where it's just – it is blown out. So I just took – I took Syracuse's team total here at 37.5. I'm just going to play it that way. That way I could care less what Washington State does. I think Kyle McCord and the way they're kind of talking – what do you say? They have three opt-outs, maybe four. The way they're talking is like they're taking this very serious. So I could see this being just getting out of hand and ugly. So yeah, they're just give me the points with Syracuse and put it that way.
Yeah.
Leave Washington State. I don't know what they're going to throw out there.
Syracuse starting cornerback, Jaden Bellamy. He's the only one in the transfer portal that had an ample playing time. And then Fran Brown said he expects everybody on Syracuse's team to play, including quarterback Kyle McCord. His exact quote was, "We don't opt out around here." Smitty, what are you doing in this one?
Well, you know what? I mean, if you watch the movie Varsity Blues, they throw the head coach off out of halftime and then the players start coaching. So, I mean, maybe that's what Washington State's going to do. I don't know. I mean, it could be something like that. You know, you need the character of Paul Walker, the quarterback that got hurt coaching by the end. Yeah, I think McCord's going to have a big game. I think they're going to light it up. I agree with you. I don't know how this team's playing. It's like Marshall couldn't play in their bowl game because of this. And I mean, 1-5 straight up in bowl games, Washington State in their last six. I think this one gets out of hand. I think if you're going to play this, I like the team points. I looked at it. Juice was a little high on my site. Look around, maybe find it down a little bit, but I think they cover this.
All right, let's go over to the Las Vegas Bowl. This line is going opposite way than I thought. I think Texas A&M is a better team, but I guess Lincoln Riley does well in bowl games. I don't trust them, though. I think they've lost way too much, and I think Elko could go out and get this win and really cap off a successful first season, even though A&M fans probably don't buy that because they're delusional and think that they should be 12-0 every year. But opt-outs for A&M, Nick Scorton, no surprise there, really. Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, defensive end and defensive tackle. But other than that, this offense is going to be clicking with the exception of Cyrus Allen, the starting wide receiver. But what are y'all doing here? I think A&M is the right side. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'll jump in here.
No, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm going to play it. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, okay, Nick.
I was just going to say, yeah, I'm going to play it. My thing is, all I'm waiting on is just you mentioned how the line is moving. It's moving the opposite way than I thought. I would have probably taken A&M at 4.5 still. But now the fact that it's moving down, why not wait? So I'm going to wait, and it's already down to 3, which is obviously everybody knows in football is a big-time key number. There's a chance this gets down to time. Like, we still have 6 hours or 8 hours until kickoff, so we got plenty of time. If this thing keeps moving, yeah, it is absolutely an auto play. Hopefully we can get a 2.5, but absolutely playable at 3 for me. I think Marcel Reed knows his job. Why not show out before next season? And, yeah, SC, you mentioned it. Lincoln Riley – somehow is good in these bowl games with like getting guys up. I think it's more of he kind of schemes things well. So you give him a couple weeks to prepare. But yeah, I just don't see where the talent is at on this SC team compared to A&M. So I'm just going to take the better team on a neutral site. So yeah, give me A&M.
Tyler Pemberton said Texas A&M money line -175. That's probably the safer way to play it. That is a lot of juice though. Toddy, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I'm right with Nick. I mean, let's wait a little bit. We got some time on this, but I think A&M is a better team. Lincoln Riley might get up for these bowl games, whatever. I know last year the quarterback that just transferred, I think, you know, really balled out and had a big game. But I haven't been high on USC this year. I'm not as high on Lincoln Riley. I mean, I don't see what he's been doing out there with the last two programs, the last couple of years. So I think that I like Elko as a coach. And I think A&M just is a better program, better team. So I'm going to go Texas A&M. I'm going to wait a little bit, but you know, sometimes laying the juice is not a bad thing if you feel confident in it. So that might be the route I go.
All right, let's hop over to the Fenway Bowl. UConn Huskies taking on North Carolina. North Carolina 6-6. Most notably, their worst loss of the year was getting blown out by James Madison. UConn a quiet 8-4. I'm on UConn here. I think they have a lot more to play for I know Bill Belichick's coming in. That the whole team's going to look different next year. But you've got a lot of opt-outs for North Carolina. You've got starting running back Amarian Hampton, defensive end Cameron Rucker, defensive tackle Ritzy, and you've got several other linebackers, left tackle, wide receiver. I don't really know who's left. As far as UConn, you've got a corner, a wide receiver, and a defensive end. I think UConn, this game means more to them. And who doesn't want to play at Fenway Park? So I feel like UConn, kind of the home team there. So let's go Huskies. Todd?
Yeah, no play yet for me. You know, I think this one's intriguing too.
I mean, absolutely nothing.
Like you just said, I mean, we're here at, you know, Fenway. You know, is the Bill Belichick factor going to be there? Or some of these kids that are going to try to stick around, play hard, they might, like you said, the running back's out. They got a, you know, play callers or new head coach that's, coaching tomorrow for them is new. Right now, it's a no play for me. I don't think UConn's won a bowl game since 2009 or something like that. I mean, it's been a long time for them. Moore's a good coach. I kind of like him. Maybe a lean your way, Matt, with UConn, but right now, no play.
And Jim Mora did say that most of the players in the portal would still play in the bowl game. So that's positive for the Huskies. Nick, you got anything else?
No, absolutely nothing. I have nothing really to talk about this game at all.
All right, from Fenway to Yankee Stadium, we've got the Pinstripe Bowl, Boston College, Nebraska. We previewed this with Avery Howard, who covers Nebraska. We will post that video later on. Never found somebody that covered Boston College. I guess they've completely checked out. Maybe baseball season is going to be their season. Boston College wide receiver Jaron Bradley is going to be out. Corner Ryan Turner, and then quarterback who lost his job, Thomas Castellanos. He is going to Florida State. Other than that, Nebraska pretty much has their entire team except for Isaiah Nair, starting wide receiver. There are portal players. I'm not sure if they are going to be available or not, but again, you can check out that Avery Howard preview for Nebraska here in a little bit. I do feel like everybody and their mother is on Nebraska, now laying the 4, total of 45.5. Todd, you doing anything in this one?
No, I haven't yet. I mean, a lot of these games, they're on my radar a little bit. Here's one. I think looking at some numbers, the Big Ten teams have done very well in this bowl game. It's a team that Nebraska is kind of slow to. I could see this being a lower scoring game. I think this wouldn't be a bad, you know, if you look at the under or maybe even a first half under, that's my lean. Hopefully it would come out. What is it? It's a noon game tomorrow, so maybe a little slow coming out of the gate. Maybe a first half under for me.
Nick?
Yeah, I was leaning over, so kind of opposite of Smitty, but I'm probably not going to touch this one. This one feels like, think of how both these teams, like Nebraska's expectations going to the beginning of the year, were pretty high, and then it didn't pan out. Boston College started the year on a very high note, and now they both kind of limped into the back half of the season. And when you think about it this time of year, you think about where people's, like, if you don't really want to be in this game, your motivation, that affects defenses most. So if I get one team to, like, 28, this probably covers. So I would lean over, but I'm kind of with Smitty. Like, the time of day, where it's at in New York, being played in a baseball stadium, those just feel like they always go under. So my lean, where like my numbers fit and say, is against what my brain says. So I'll probably stay away at the end of the day.
That rhymed. All right, let's go over to the New Mexico Bowl. Raging Cajuns taking on TCU. There is quite a delay that Nick has over there. Louisiana Raging Cajuns 10-3. TCU 8-4. If you would have told me 5 seconds ago, Matt, what was TCU's record? I would not have guessed 8-4. I felt like every other game they were losing. Hats off. They've fallen far from their national championship appearance, getting obliterated. But 8-4, decent. 10.5-point favorite here against Louisiana. Let's look at these opt-outs. You've got starting wide receiver Harvey Broussard out for Louisiana, starting tight end, starting linebacker, another tight end, running back, TCU, you've got their starting center, running back, wide receiver. Two other wide receiver opt-outs for TCU that are dealing with injuries and will not play. Do you not think that the dog here getting plus 10.5 is the right side of this? Todd, can I talk you into this?
Trying to give Nick a little delayed there. This, I'll be honest, this one, I'm not really into this one yet. This one I have not really dove into, but I think what you just said there, Matt, I think this is a pretty good spot here for the dog. I think it's a lot, like you just said. I think if you would have said what's TCU's record, I would have been right with you. I would have never thought it was that. So I think this one's a good spot. I would take the dog in this one. But again, it's one I have not really dove into yet or really looked at. So, but I would play the dog here.
And something to monitor, Louisiana's original starting quarterback, Ben Wooldridge, he was out with an injury before the new starter, Chandler Fields, got hurt in the conference title game. If Woolridge isn't back, it's going to be a true freshman, Daniel Beal, that'll get the start. But Woolridge's original timeline would put him available for this game. So if he can play, head coach Michael Desermo said there's a chance he could play, but that may be why this line is so much, because I do think Louisiana is probably not a 10.5-point dog if that quarterback's playing.
Yeah, I think that's the whole story, because I read that too, whether or not he's going to play. I think right here it's probably the Raging Canes or nothing. I don't think you can lay it here with TCU. Like, if you want something on the game, you have to take the Lafayette side and just hope that quarterback plays, because if not, you're right. True freshman starting in his first ever game against TCU, who wasn't as good this year. But like you said, 8-4, that's probably not who you want your first college start against. So I would lean Raging Cajuns, hoping that starter plays. But, yeah, definitely wait for the news before doing anything on either side.
All right, let's hop over to the best bowl game ever, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Iowa State, Cam Ward, and the Miami Hurricanes probably should be in the playoff, but there's about 47 other teams that could say that. Cam Ward's going to play in this game. I'm assuming he's going to take out an insurance policy or – the school will. Not sure if it's NIL related. Not sure if he'll play the entire game. But Iowa State transfers, starting defensive end, and two other defensive ends. Wow. So they're going to be without three DEs. Iowa State potential opt-outs. We've got Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, two wide receivers, and then Darian Porter, Miles Purchase, two corners. And then you've got one wide receiver for Miami and a third string running back, looks like an AJ Allen. Y'all think it's Miami or bust here? Iowa State got blown out in that Big 12 championship game against Arizona State. I feel like Miami's going to be able to move the ball, especially assuming Cam Ward plays. Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver for Miami, no word on him yet if he's going to play or not, but I feel like this is Miami or pass, just with the way Iowa State's season has ended. I'm not really buying them as being a legitimate threat to beat this Miami team if they're fully loaded.
I was going to say, do those guys transfer after Arizona State just kept scoring on them? They're probably having nightmares how many times. I mean, they scored on them. I mean, that was just gross in that game. So now here's the thing, but nobody knows. And I think when we talk about Colorado, it's going to be the same thing. I know they're taking insurance policies out on these guys. How long are they going to play? The wide receiver, Ward, the quarterback here. I don't know. I mean, this one's tricky because I think if they don't play, I agree with you, Matt. If Ward plays, the wide receiver plays, Miami's the better team. How about if they don't? Then I'm a little concerned with that. And then I'd maybe take a chance with Iowa State in this. So this one's, I think, a really tricky one. Same with the Colorado BYU one here. We're going to break down in a couple minutes. Right now, it's a pass for me. Like Nick just said, I guess really be on it and try to get the information before you bet this game tomorrow.
Nick?
Yeah, I already played it. Not with Miami, but you know what we do with Miami games, and this one's going to be no different. Over.
I was going to say, Nick didn't take any of my advice there. He just said, hell with it. Let's go.
No. Over. Like, I could care less with Miami defense. Rocco Beck is playing for Iowa State, and I know they struggled in their last couple of games, but they're still going to put up points. Miami's giving up points to everybody. So I'm guaranteed we're getting 20 or something out of Iowa State. If Cam Ward even only plays the first half, they probably get 20 there at least. You mentioned opt-outs on the defensive line for Miami as if they weren't struggling already. So, yeah, this just screams points to me. I guess this is one of those – I think both offenses are motivated. I don't think both defenses are motivated. So, yeah, I think this could end up being one of the higher-scoring games of, if not the weekend, like all bowl season.
All right, in an article that came out today, Miami announces the bowl captains are quarterback Cam Ward, O-lineman Jalen Rivers, Zach Carpenter, and Akeem Mesidor. It does not look like Xavier Restrepo is going to play, but Cam Ward for sure is. That being said, let's go over to the Arizona Bowl in a game that I think you can take your nap in this slot. With respects to Miami of Ohio and Colorado State, Miami of Ohio laying 2.5, total of 40.5, indicative of a little bit of a snooze fest here. But it is Snoop Dogg, Colorado State, Miami, Ohio. Who you got, Toddy? I know you'll be rolling with that gin and juice, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll break that out tonight. Start putting it on ice. No, I mean, like you said, it's going to be defense. This is Colorado State 2-7 straight up ATS last 9 bowl games. I kind of like, and I know Miami, I think I had him in that MAC championship against Ohio, and Ohio really put a thumping on him. But I think it's a good defense. Quarterback's been there for about 15 years. If he's still playing, and I think this one's a snoozer. I like them, though. This would be a money line play. I think Miami wins it.
Nick?
Nothing for me. Let's just move on. Let's sleep through this one, like you said.
These are – this is Nick's favorite games, man. It's like Big Ten. Let's go.
This is where you find the diamonds in the rough, Nick. All right, the Military Bowl, NC State, ECU. This would be a great baseball game. Football game, Wolfpack laying 7, total of 58.5 in Annapolis. What are you doing here?
It's nothing yet for me. The favorites are good in this bowl game overall. I think this one could be high scoring. I do. I think this one, I think I'd look at something team points for one of the teams. That's why you wake up early in the morning and you look at stuff. So probably a team points for me, something with the over.
Both are very comparable in players that they're going to miss. Both missing a starting wide receiver, Casey Concepcion, and Chase Sowell for East Carolina. No word on either quarterback. Looks like both are going to play. But most notably, NC State lost longtime DC Tony Gibson to Marshall as its new coach. So Nichols coach Freddie Autry Lindsey will call plays in the bowl game on the defense.
I think this is just I'm going to use NC State as like money line, like part of a money line parlay. I kind of love where their number's at. I think this is a game they win. You can't lose this. You can't. This is like a little big brother, little brother type situation in football. Baseball is different. Football, though, this is a much different kind of level, and they need to show it. So I don't see NC State dropping this one. I don't like laying 7 with them as how up and down they've been this year, but I will probably use them in some type of money line parlay tomorrow. Just need to kind of go through that and see, work the numbers out as to who I'll be matching them with.
All right, let's go over to the Independence Bowl. Army taking on what would have been Marshall, but they couldn't field a team. So the 5-7 Louisiana Tech Bulldogs get slotted here. I think it's Army or pass, but Louisiana Tech, you may be able to make a case that, hey, we kind of lucked into this bowl game. We might as well go out and try to win it. But this Army offense, with Bryce Daly, I feel like they're going to be so much better. Assuming that you get the full team, I think it's Army.
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot. I mean, because you could look at it going a team that's motivated that didn't think they were going to play in a bowl game, or a team that was already checked out for the year and saying we're done. And now, oh, I got to go play a bowl game. And now I got to go play against Army that, you know, let's be honest, physical team. Now, Army's coming off a really bad defeat against Navy, which I was really blown away and shocked how that game turned out. I think this again, yeah, this would be Army or a team points, because it's a tough team to stop. The quarterback could just plow through some people here, and they could blow them out here.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's Army or nothing. Don't hate the team point play. I mean, how many times did Army team points hit this year? I know we made on this show quite a few dollars off of that. Maybe four or five times we played it. So maybe that's just how we end out the year. Late night game, let's just root for, hey, Team US, right? Since you guys say also that I hate the military, since I took Notre Dame against both of them. No mention of me cashing them, but I hate the military and hope they lose Notre Dame every time.
How's Don't clip that. Notre Dame over Navy, but I digress. Alamo Bowl, BYU, Colorado. This is the weirdest bowl matchup we've had. You get two Big 12 teams, albeit they didn't play each other in the regular season. BYU, pretty good year, 10-2, Colorado 9-3. Are we getting the full slate of Colorado's offense? It looks like it, but how long do they play? That's kind of the biggest question mark. BYU probably looking to play spoiler here to cap off a really good year. In my opinion, this is probably dog or pass. I don't want to lay 3.5 with Colorado, but I would take it with BYU. Hope that they can play them tight, and then at the end of the game, the starters get pulled and Deion kind of rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, I agree with you. It goes back to the Miami game. How long are these guys going to play? I mean, if they play the whole game, I think it could be a high scoring game. I think both these, if the starters play for Colorado, you know, they could put on a show. I think BYU is going to be able to score against Colorado. So this one's tough. I mean, again, it's an interesting game. It's in the dome. So I think it could be a high scoring game. So I'm looking, I agree with you, Matt, maybe the dog in this, or I would look at team points with one of these teams.
Maybe a first half play if I'm going to bet Colorado. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, Sean. Ken, yeah, the NFL games have been absolute snooze fest. Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, me and Q are both on this. We talked about this on the show this morning. We're both on Colorado first half. I know Travis Hunter said he's going to play. Shedeur Sanders is going to play. But, yes, dude, we know they're playing the whole game. It makes sense that they want to play for Deion. They want to get him that double-digit win. But I do have a hard time believing two guys that are probably going to get picked in the top five of the draft are really going to risk 60 full minutes at the end of the day, a meaningless game. So I think Colorado comes out hot. Give me that 2.5 in that first half. I know Q's on as well. So we're kind of paired up there, and I'll take that and not have to hopefully worry about them getting pulled later in the game.
All right, last but not least, the standalone game on Monday, December 30th. We have Iowa versus Missouri in Nashville. Look, I don't like Missouri at all, but I feel like they're going to blow out Iowa. I've not seen enough out of this Iowa offense. Usually they could hang their hat on their defense, but they're not great at defense. Their defense success rate is 71st in the country, 109th against the rush. I know wide receivers are going to be short for Mizzou, but I've got to believe that Missouri is going to be the better team here and dominate this game. Total sitting at 40.5. It's very low. Kind of plays into the hands of Iowa if they could put up points, but looking at offensive success rate, 41.5, 76 in the country. Just don't think points are going to come for the Hawkeyes. So give me Mizzou. Yuck.
Early lean, I'm on Iowa, plus the 3.
Of course you are, Smitty.
Yeah, you got to go different. You know, black and gold. You got Steelers. I know they have the cheap man like Steelers color. Now, I think the quarterback's a more mobile guy for Iowa. I think that, like you said, low total. I look into that. I think this one's going to be ugly. So give me. It's kind of reminds me of like the Georgia Tech Vandy game here today. In a little bit, if you're going to give me a team that I think it's going to be close, I'm going to take. Give me the +3, and let's see what happens.
Nick.
All right, Smitty, you're going to like this. I might put myself through this 40-point misery in person. It is here in Nashville. The weather's actually supposed to be pretty nice. It's supposed to be like 60, no wind, sunny. So I might actually do it. Ticket prices are in the like $20. So it's just ridiculous. And it's a standalone game.
That's how bad of a game it's going to be. So I might
put myself through the suffering. Yeah.
You know what I would have? Nick, this is what you have to do. You have to be like that guy at Florida State years ago. That's all like, take your shirt off, get some sun, be kind of red, and be reading that book up in the bleachers.
Reading the book.
Yeah. I love it. That's what I want to see. I'll sit at home and go, I know that guy.
if you hold out long enough, they may pay you to go to this game.
Well, I promise I will not be in black and gold on either side. That I can guarantee.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. We'll be back either Monday or Tuesday night. We've still got a ton of bowl games to cover here, starting with the Alabama-Michigan game, which I know Smitty is excited to talk about that one. That game is at noon on the 31st, so we will cover that before then. But for the missing Q, Todd, Nick, and myself, if you don't have anything else to cover here, we've just hit a lot of bowl games in a short amount of time. So right at about 38 minutes, we will see you guys next week. Cash some tickets.